Part 5, Confidence in Your Rescue. Because I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, trusting in you, because I desire to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh, I know you will hear my cry for deliverance and will deliver me. I know you will encompass me like a shield, with favor, with mercy, with songs and shouts of deliverance, and with a great cloud of faithful witnesses. Because I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, trusting in you. It cannot possibly be overemphasized that the only righteousness we have, the only righteousness we have at all, is to be found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is not found in our own works in any way at all. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." This salvation Paul described here to Titus was the full salvation that encompasses not just our final destination, but also our day-to-day lives. The smile of God that we receive day by day comes from the mighty works that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and our faith in his works. Romans 1:17 says, "For in Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or righteous shall live by faith." We, the righteous, will live by faith. We need faith not only to change our eternal destination. We need it every day for our full salvation, what is commonly called our sanctification, which is accomplished by faith alone. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Romans 4:5-6 says, "But to him that does not work, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly, the faith is counted as righteousness." Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God attributes righteousness without works. As these verses and all the New Testament indicate, as well as harbingers in the Old Testament, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is all our hope for all our salvation, both justification and sanctification. Even the life of practical holiness we want so much to live, even that is accomplished through faith alone. The note says, for more on this truth, you can read Struggling with Striving at heresthejoy.com. The story has been told of Marco Franco, one of the pioneer Christians in the nation of Colombia in the 1930s. When he became a true child of God, through the salvation of Jesus Christ, his former friends beat him until he was nearly dead. While Marco's body recovered, his mind and heart sank into blackness and despair, thinking dark thoughts against his attackers. "How can I even be a Christian if I think thoughts like these?" he wondered. The man who had led him to Christ told him this was an attack from the enemy, Satan. "It is no sin to be tempted," he said. "It is a sin to welcome the temptation." Through trusting in Jesus Christ, Marco was delivered from his dark despair to a place of love and strength. He went on to win many of his fellow Colombians to the Lord. When our eyes are open to this glorious truth, when we stand in faith in him, we can be confident that our Lord Jesus Christ will accomplish his good work in us and through us. We can expect and anticipate that we will see his good work in us as we continue to look to him in faith. Because I desire to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. Romans 8:3-4. For that which was impossible to the law, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Joy Ritterhoff, founder of Gospel Recordings, which recorded the gospel in little-known languages all over the world, found in the 1940s that her work was growing beyond the capacity of the workers to accomplish what they needed to do. "We need to take one day off every week for prayer," Joyce said. The workers, of course, resisted because they already weren't getting their work done. But after 1 year of taking an entire day off every week for prayer, they found they had accomplished more than they ever had before and without the worry and stress. My heart's desire, and that of every earnest Christian, is to walk according to the Spirit, energized by Holy Spirit energy, such as what Paul described in Ephesians 3:20, rather than by my own flesh, my own strength, to accomplish the work God wants to do in and through me. The note says, for more about living according to the Spirit instead of the flesh, you can see the post, "Dear Christian, Stop Trying to Die," at heresthejoy.com. It is by faith that we are saved. It is by faith that we walk in the Spirit. This will change not only our destination some sweet day, but today, now, moment by moment, it will change our desires, our delights, our duties, our direction, our determinations, our day-to-day, and our entire earthly destinies. This understanding will enable us with the strength of the Lord as we stand firm against the enemy's flaming darts. I know you will hear my cry for deliverance and will deliver me. Psalm 18:1-2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I love how Psalm 18, David starts with a declaration of determination, not "help me to love you," but "I will love you." I love his proclamation of who God is to him, 9 proclamations in 3 sets of 3 as the introduction to his story. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, the one in whom I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Psalm 18:3 says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord, who is what? Not who is very powerful, not who is faithful, even though those are both true. But where is his focus? Who is worthy to be praised? Our Lord God of hosts is worthy to be praised because of his mighty works, his faithfulness, his great love, and for so many other reasons. David wraps it all up with this phrase. Psalm 18:4-5 say, the pain of death compassed me, and the rivers of Belial made me afraid. The pain of Sheol compassed me about. The snares of death came before me. Yes, Lord, I feel overwhelmed by my enemies too, like David. They come upon me like floods. They ensnare me. They are too strong for me. Psalm 18:6a says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Yes, Lord, that's what I'm doing. I'm terribly distressed, and I'm crying out to you. You are the only one who can rescue me. The whole psalm has me on the edge of my seat, but this next part, verses 6b through 15, is especially exciting. God heard, God came, and not quietly and calmly, but in a storm of thunder and lightning and hailstones and fire and blackness and earthquakes and storms and chariots. With a blast of his breath, just like that, he vanquished the enemy. Then, Psalm 18:16-19. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, even though they were too strong for me. They were ready for me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my staff. He brought me forth into a wide place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Yes, Lord, I trust you. You will do that for me. I cry out to you to do that for me. In the next section of Psalm 18, verses 20 through 28, David makes one statement after another about his own integrity, his own righteousness, in his own personal situation with Saul. For me, these are statements of my righteousness in Christ. So I can assert, I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, because I know Jesus Christ has done that for me. And I am in Christ. I came to the Lord guilty, asking forgiveness, but now I stand before him clean in the cleansing power of my Savior. In the next section, David's whole demeanor changes. He's no longer the fearful one hiding in the shadows, but is a new man, fearless. The deliverance of the Lord has empowered him. He is strong. Psalm 18:29 says, "For with thee I have scattered armies, and in my God I have overcome walled defenses." Yes, Lord, you will strengthen me to charge through these enemies and overcome these walls. O God of hosts, your way is the only perfect way. You are the only God. You are the only rock. You give me hinds feet to walk on my high places. Show me my high places, Lord. I want to walk on those high places. Lord, increase my faith. My arms are strong enough to break a bronze bow. Your gentleness has made me great. Now I have chased after my enemies and destroyed them because you have filled me with strength. One amazing statement after another in this psalm to meditate on, all pointing to the power and glory and mighty salvation of our matchless God. Through the salvation of my great Savior, I am victorious beyond my imaginings. Therefore, psalm closes, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, in the midst of the people who do not know you. In their presence, I will sing praises to your great name. And all of it comes through the power of my Savior, Jesus Christ. He, unlike any other, is worthy to be praised. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is precise, a shield to all those who wait in him." Psalm 18 reminds us that even when things are at their worst, we can keep crying out to God to accomplish his good work. Don't give up. I know you will encompass me like a shield, with favor, with mercy, with songs and shouts of deliverance. I could have made many observations about the implications of trusting in Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit, but I wanted to focus on the encompassing aspect because I'm in a spiritual battle, and in a battle, our protection is of supreme importance. Ephesians 6 tells us about the shield of faith, which is the encompassing of Jesus Christ all around us. But the Psalms also speak about the encompassing for the righteous. Not righteous in ourselves, of course, but righteous in Christ. Psalm 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Psalm 32:10 says, "There are many sorrows for the wicked, but he that waits in the Lord, mercy shall compass him round about." Psalm 32:7 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs or shouts of deliverance." We are surrounded. Sometimes it may seem like we're completely surrounded by the enemy, and perhaps we are outside. But inside we're surrounded by the favor of God, the mercy of God, and our mighty God's songs and shouts of deliverance. Russell Stendhal, a 28-year-old missionary in the nation of Colombia, was kidnapped by revolutionaries there. But unlike Brother Jan, mentioned on page 91, the Lord told Russell to refrain from trying to escape and instead stay with his captors and give them the gospel. The Lord assured him that he would be protected for the work God had called him to do. For 5 months, until his family raised the ransom money, Russell wrote, read the Bible aloud, argued theology, and discussed life with his captors, even while he had a rope around his neck. Because God was his shield and protector, he was not afraid. Even in the midst of his enemies, some of whom fiercely hated him, Russell was shielded as he offered them the hope of redemption and rescue through Jesus Christ. Over the following years, hundreds of revolutionaries came to Christ. O my soul, remember who wins this battle if we will only stand in faith, faith in his righteousness and power. In him, through faith in him, we are surrounded by his goodness and our souls are safe, no matter what storms are raging. And surrounded with a great cloud of faithful witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, leaving behind all the weight of the sin which surrounds us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, having been offered joy, endured the cross, despising the shame, and was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In this great race, though our eyes will be fixed on Jesus, the one who accomplished the great work for us, still we are aware of the cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, who have trusted in him. Even as I learn more about evil people in positions of leadership and authority in the Christian world, still I'm encouraged by the biographies of great God followers in the Bible and biographies of notable Christians of history. When we feel alone, we're not alone. There's a great host of other Christ followers who have gone before us in history and who are following him even now in various places around the world. Some of them are obscure, little known, but faithfully serving him in their corner of the world. Sometimes those are the most inspiring to me. We will keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we will remember that not only Bible heroes, but also many other Christians through the generations have gone through similar trials. Their stories of faith in Jesus Christ, their expectation of his great work, and their focus on the eternal perspective can encourage us and renew our hope.